Jello, 1690 AM, and that's what you're listening to. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about comics and, you know, everything in between. Wow, I'm really quiet. I'm going to turn myself up. So today, that's better. Today we're talking about Ayazawa. She is someone I'm very excited to be talking about because, you know, for the past year and a half, I haven't really been buying comics because I haven't been able to afford it. It's been very expensive and I'm not working full time, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, but few of the comics that I have been buying, like I always buy the new Acme Novelty Library, and I've actually been buying all the Nanas. Now, Nana is a Japanese manga that Ayazawa did, but we'll get to that in a minute because I kind of want to go through her history a little chronologically, let you know a little bit about her, and then we'll get into the comics because there's two comics that they've translated into English, which is Paradise Kiss and Nana. So we're going to start with Paradise Kiss and then we'll go into Nana. But suffice it to say that Nana was so good, I had to buy every book that came out when it came out because I just couldn't wait and I was so involved in the story. So Ayazawa was born in Japan in 1967. Her pen name comes from a Japanese singer, Ikichi Yazawa, of whom she is a fan, which I think is kind of funny. I mean, not a lot of people use that's not true. Now that I think about it, Nicolas Cage would be a really good example of someone who's changed their name to somebody they really liked, like Luke Cage. The first time Ayazawa did some story work or even remotely comic book stuff was in 7th grade. She wrote her first story manuscript, and before that she considers her work just doodling. She started her manga publishing career in 1985. Her most famous mangas include Tenshi Nakajani, which is I'm Not Your Angel, I'm Not an Angel in English, Gokinjo Monogatari, I'm sorry if I'm mangling these words, which is Neighborhood Story, Paradise Kiss, and Nana, to name a few. And one of the things that I learned in my research that's really exciting is that a lot of those stories have characters from other stories in them. So, for example, in Paradise Kiss, one of the characters, her older sister, shows up in the Neighborhood Story books, as well as the fashion label that her older sister does shows up in the Nana books. So I think that's really cool that Yazawa has created like this world where people sort of from other books or stories that she's done infiltrate. Nana in Japan continues to run in Cookie Magazine and is currently up to 80 chapters. Plus, there are 3 side story chapters about different characters' early lives. So I hope they translate those into English because that will be very exciting. In 2003, she was awarded the Shogakukan Manga Award for the book, Nana. And also in 2008, Nana was nominated for an award at France's Angoulême Comic Festival. Yazawa's characters are always very stylish, like insanely stylish, and I'll get to the reason why in a minute. And she is also known for her very hip sense of fashion. This is because she attended fashion school right after high school, but she didn't complete her studies there. Another key point is her strikingly unique, often rebellious characters who tend to be juxtaposed against the more traditional ones. That's in the writing of both Paradise Kiss and Nana. The characters are very traditional Japanese characters, but Yazawa puts them in situations where they become strong and independent, and you know, there's always a foil, you know, where there's one character who is more serious than the other character. They've also published 3 art books for the artwork of Ayazawa, and let's see here, she did Paradise Kiss. She started in 2000 and it was only 5 volumes and it ended in 2004. And Nana was started in 2000 and it's still ongoing. In English, there's only been 14 books out so far, and the 15th one is going to come really soon in March. So some fun facts about Miss Yazawa. When she was asked which character was the most like her, she said that each of them have parts that are like me. People around me say I'm like Junko, which is Hachi Nana's best friend from art school, who is kind of like a mother figure in the series. But Yazawa says, I don't think so at all. I'm completely naive to myself and others. In this interview, when she was asked if she plays any kind of music, because in Nana, music is such a huge thing, she mentioned that she used to play the piano, but she mostly just likes to listen to it. 3 things that she would take to a desert island would be cigarettes, paper, and pencil. And then she goes on to say, oh, I wonder, I think I would need a nameplate on a desert island. No. Oh, wait, and CDs. I can't live without my music. It's so hard to choose 3 things. Some of her favorite movies are Gattaca, Death in Venice, and Velvet Goldmine. She does quote Velvet Goldmine quite a bit in the Paradise Kiss series. Some of the comics that she prefers are 20th Century Boy, Berserk, and Izumi. She also likes various other boy comics or men's comics. Her favorite process of the whole thing, because she's an artist and a writer, is the writing. If she could write, that's all she would do. I guess the art is takes a lot of time. As for her art process, for the lines, she uses a drafting pen. And for the inking, aside from hair and shading, she finishes it up on her Mac computer. The coloring is also done on Mac, and she does small preview cuts by hand and uses Copic markers for the coloring. So, because the thing is all her characters are like these really tall, long, and skinny characters, and they have like this massive, beautiful, flowing hair that's so super highly detailed. And a lot of the clothes are very intricate. So she has a very fine line style, which is really nice to look at. Her favorite music is rock and roll, and she enjoys a band called Muse from the UK. And in response to a question about what the boys think of her manga, she replied, "The reaction varies. I'm surprised that there are so many guys who say Nana K is just like my girlfriend. Also, probably because so many shoujin manga that guys read are stories where the characters win each battle and evolve. So some people say, I've never read a manga in which so many things don't happen the way you want them to." Which I find really interesting, because in North America, I find comics can go left, right, and center as far as where they're going to go. Like, you can't really take anything for granted. I guess in Japanese comics, people are more used to certain set formulas. And I think it's really great that Yazawa really turns them on their head and makes it different. She wrote Nana because she wanted to try and help women make it through their difficult 20s. Yazawa said, "Realizing that you are not alone with your pain and self-doubt can be a great source of comfort." So as a writer, I find she's really accomplished. Like, she's done a lot of writing before Nana and Paradise Kiss, but I just, the way she writes, she grabs you immediately. For example, Paradise Kiss is about a teenage girl who's a studious, studying girl who just pays attention to her books and doesn't really think outside the box about the world around her. And she kind of gets kidnapped by these fashion students at a local art school, and because she's such a beautiful woman, they want to use her as a fashion model. It sounds really preposterous, of course, but when you start reading Paradise Kiss, all this happens within like the first three pages of the book. Like, you expect some kind of lead up, but all of a sudden, bam, you're there. And I think she really, by doing that, she really grabs you. Also, as a writer, she creates really humorous moments where it's silly but yet believable situations that exist between the characters. For example, Nana Hachi occasionally resembles the dog that she's named after, and the other Nana can be like bizarrely cartoonly violent, where she's bopping people on the head and with her guitar and stuff. Also, I find Yazawa constantly employs writing rule number one, which is, if you want your fans to care about your characters, make them laugh with your characters. Because of this, I find myself very, very involved in the story, because you get to care for the characters as you laugh with their foils and the things that happen to them, so that when the really tragic, harsh stuff happens, you're like, oh my God. So when I first started reading Nana, like, there were so many things that happened that are just really common in regular comics, because Nana is a bit of a soap opera. And I it was just regular stuff, but I was just so involved. Like, there's one part where Hachi Nana's boyfriend cheats on her, and I was just like so angry with her boyfriend. Like, these people are real to me. Later on in the series, Hachi gets pregnant, and I was just like, for a whole day, I was like, no, why did you get pregnant? Also, when Nana K got back together with Ren, her old boyfriend, it was like so heartbreaking. You know, you're sobbing the whole time. Recently, I just started reading Paradise Kiss, and there it's a more of a teenage love story than like a girls in their early 20s love story. And I'm still just as involved. Like, there's when George and Yukari have their first kiss, I'm just like, oh my God. I was like so intensely involved with it, like watching my favorite romance movie. Or when Yukari is out late with George, I was totally worried that her mom was gonna catch her. Like, I'm sitting there reading and they're sitting in the car and I'm like, oh no, your mom's gonna get you. You're gonna get in so much trouble. You know, I find that with Yazawa's writing, it's just so believable and so involving, and you emphasize and relate so easily. Also, Yazawa breaks the fourth wall in Paradise Kiss, which I find really funny. So, for example, at one point, Ikari decides not to go back to school. And Isabel is one of the characters in Paradise Kiss. And she says to George, her Yukari's boyfriend, George, shouldn't you try and persuade the runaway to go home in this situation? You are, after all, the hero of this manga. And then George says, well, why should I say things I don't really mean? If you don't like it, you should persuade her. You're the mother figure in the manga. So they always, like, they talk about stuff which is about the manga that isn't necessarily about the world. Like, at one point, Yukari says to George, you know, you've got to be nice to me because I'm the heroine of this manga. And if you're not, I'm probably going to fall in love with somebody else and leave you behind. And he's like, is that true? And then the rest of the characters are like, yeah, you better be nice to her. It's not typical in North American comics to see that. And it is kind of typical in Japanese comics to see it. But I just really love seeing it in this comic. Also, one of the things that I love is that both series are about young women rebelling against the future that's set up for them by their parents or society. And they're trying very hard to be independent and make it on their own. In Paradise Kiss, Yukari is a typical student studying for exams to win the approval of her parents. Whereas in Nana, Hachinana is learning to fend for herself, take responsibilities for her own mistakes and not always depend on someone else to bail her out. Well, Nana, punk rock Nana, is determined to make it as a successful musician no matter what the cost, even if it means up giving up the love of her life, Ren. So admittedly, when you compare this to Western morals and expectations, it's no big deal. But when you consider the kind of stress and expectations Japanese women have to live up to, it makes this story all that much more powerful and realistic. So though I find that really interesting to note too, is that this kind of strength within in these core characters is actually very deeply buried, because on the outside these characters are still very much obsessed with fashion and romance and material objects. But yeah, you kind of have to look a little bit deeper. It's not as shallow as it seems. One other thing that I find interesting is that there's narrations at the beginning and the end of each of the Nana books, and at times I find it hard to figure out who's talking, but at the same time it's really heavy on the foreshadowing. So I don't know, like, why she decided, Yazawa decided to do that, but it's, I don't know, it kind of bugs me at times, because I'm like, I want to go with the flow. Like, I know it might not end happy, this story, but at the same time, like, I want to believe that it will. And all this heavy foreshadowing on at the end and beginning of each Nana book is kind of annoying. But that's my only bad thing that I have to say. Also, of the two Nanas, of the two, Nana is easier to relate to, because Paradise Kiss is kind of fantastical and it's taken from the point of view of teenagers, where Nana is two 20-somethings living on their own and they're just trying to make it. You know, Hachinana, you know, loses jobs and, you know, gets fired, or she, you know, gets let go and she has to find a new job and she's always worried about money and, you know, she wants to buy things she can't have. It's insanely easy for me to relate to that. And whereas Nana is totally, totally driven. When I say Nana, I usually mean punk rock Nana. Whereas when I say Hachi, I mean like the sweet, lovable, cute Nana, because that's what they call her in the comic. Hachi means dog in Japanese, and she's really, like, really energetic and happy like a dog, and really sweet and loyal like a dog, so they just call her Hachi to save the confusion. Also, the other thing that's kind of weird I find about the writing in both books, Paradise Kiss and Nana, is that sometimes there's these dark sexual overtones to it, and I don't know if it's something Yazawa's interested in or she's putting it in to make it more adult. But for example, in Paradise Kiss, George is into S&M and he's also bisexual and he's very open about it, and there are also times where it seems like he's forcing himself on Yukari. And also in Nana, Hachi comes across as like this weak woman who's surrendering to Takumi's forceful will, and while Nana and and Ren play sexual asphyxiation games, which is kind of dark. And not to mention, there's also the teen prostitution of Shin, who is like this 15-year-old character who is a teen prostitute. When you take all these elements together, though, it makes for two very interesting, engrossing, and adult mangas that are also utterly beautiful to look at. Which brings me to my next point, which is the art. Oh, the art. I have to mention one more thing that I find really funny about Nana, is that, and, you know, I even did it today, which the character herself, Hachi, she's convinced that there is a demon lord out there that's foiling her every move. And it's become such a great catch-all that I find myself doing it, and even the other characters in the comic book Nana do it, where it's like, oh, the bus, I just missed the bus. stupid demon lord. Like today I was trying to get into the station. They didn't have a key. I had to get somebody else to let me in. Everything was all locked up. Ah, stupid demon lord. And I mean, it's not necessarily a religion based on anything. It's just this demon lord who is, you know, is the catch-all for, is the scapegoat for everything that goes wrong. Anyways, I little tricks like that, I find that Yazawa makes her art or writing really interesting. Okay, so the art. I love this art so much. And of course, if the art wasn't captivating, I wouldn't be interested in this series at all. So they're very, very skinny, sort of like Peter Chung's Aeon Flux. And Yazawa has a great eye for fashion, obviously. It's mostly punkish, sort of gothic Lolita, Little Bo Peep stuff with a bit of haute couture thrown in and trash as well. You know, like it's just anything. And to be honest, when I look at the fashion design in those books, Nana and Paradise Kiss, I think a lot of Alexander McQueen, if you're familiar with any of the fashion designers, big profile fashion designers, Alexander McQueen is like kind of bizarre, but also employs conventional cuts and sewing techniques. Anyways, certain characters have a specific way of dressing. So like in Nana, for example, Yasuo always wears a suit. But I love looking at what Nana and Hachi wear. And they also, their styles are very different. Like Nana is very goth punk, whereas Hachi and sort of trashy, whereas Hachi is very sophisticated, cute, and adorable looking. When I look at these books, I just wish they were in color because so much of it is really interesting. The chapter headings on both Paradise Kiss and Nana are very beautiful. You can tell she puts a lot of effort, Yazawa, into that stuff. And the fashion is so much about color as well as content. So, like, I think putting it in color would be beautiful. Also, Yazawa does a neat job of trying to portray all sorts of different things with computer effects. So whether it's computer patterns or scanned in lace patterns or zip tones, it's really interesting the things that she uses. Yazawa also uses great panel layout and what is in the panels. So, for example, I find myself staring at a lot of panels where the art is simple and stunning. Like I mentioned before, the chapter headers in both books. And as well, in Paradise Kiss, there was one panel where George and Yukari were kissing. I think it was their second kiss. And in that panel, you only see his hand and her hair. And I was like, I just stared at that forever. It was so pretty and simple and moving, but just maybe in its simplicity, it was so moving. And also in Nana, one of my favorite scenes was in Nana and Ren were in their tub of roses. And so, yeah, it makes me really want to see those art books because I know there's lots of color in them. Anyways, I've been talking a lot about Yazawa, and she is just fantastic. She is the artist and writer behind Paradise Kiss and Nana, to name a few. I'm going to play some music for you from a group called Tommy February. They are a Japanese band that did music for Paradise Kiss. Track one is Lonely and Gorgeous, and track two is This Feeling Love. It's worth mentioning that actually at the Paradise Kiss animated series, the closing track was a Franz Ferdinand song, which is, do you wanna go? It's where you've never been before. I just thought it was kind of, out of all the regular pop musicians they could pick, they picked Franz Ferdinand. And I mean, it's kind of typical. Well, not typical. What am I saying? It works because Franz Ferdinand are very stylish suit wearing guys. Anyways, you're listening to 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show where we talk about all graphic arts all the time. And I'm just going to leave you to the music. This is Tommy February.
Cinema Politica presents Taking Root, the vision of Wangari Maathai on Tuesday, February 3rd at 7:30 p.m. in room H110 at Concordia University's downtown campus. Come get informed, inspired, and entertained, and join in the discussion with filmmakers, guests, and schoolmates. The screening is open to the public, and admission is by donation. Cinema Politica is a partner of CJLO.
This is A-Dubs, and when I'm not hosting Eclectricity, I'm listening to Go Funk Yourself every Tuesday from noon to 2 right here on CJLO.
you're listening to 1690 AM. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, the show about comics, where we talk about all graphic arts all the time and all kinds of graphic arts. Today we're talking about Eiyazawa. She is a Japanese artist and writer of one of my favorite mangas called Nana, but we're going to talk about quickly about Paradise Kiss, which is one of her first ones, and it's good. Paradise Kiss is good. I found this wicked awesome website called mangafox.com, and they scan like all manga. You just have to look up what you want and it's all there. It's a lovely thing, the internet. So Paradise Kiss came out in, and there was 5 volumes, which was really surprising because I thought it'd be a lot longer series, but it was initially in Shōdansha's Zipper magazine, which is a fashion magazine, which is quite telling about the series. And the anime series began airing in October 2005, and there were 12 episodes. So Paradise Kiss started in April 2000. It ended 2004. And it's the semi-sequel to her previous work, Gōgenjō Monogatari, which is the neighborhood story, because several characters from that series have cameos in Paradise Kiss. So some of the characters in Paradise Kiss, the main characters, Carrie Carolyn Hayasaka. She's the heroine, and she is a high school student who is tired of her meaningless and repetitive life that has been forced upon her by her uptight mother. She eventually models for Paradise Kiss after being kidnapped. Paradise Kiss is the actual name of the studio or the atelier that the fashion students work in. And let's see, she's often referred to as Caroline by Miwako, which is one of the other characters, because she thought that she calls her that to get her attention at one point, and then Caroline just sticks. And Isabella ends up calling her Carrie at various points too. But Yukari begins the series as a pretty-faced yet rather unattractive in personality high school senior that studies dutifully for all her university entrance exams. When she meets the Paradise Kiss crew, she begins to discover new depths to her personality and her life. Her passionate and sometimes destructive relationship with George is the key to this self-discovery. Yukari is competitive, quick to blame others, and desperately wants to experience more. George often points out the flaws in her personality, but admits that he finds them alluring, claiming that she was quote-unquote born into this world to drive him crazy. Now, I never got to finish reading the series, and I've got about 2 or 3 more books to read, and I didn't know the actual ending. So if you don't want to know the ending, go la 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 la, cover your ears. But apparently Yukari ends up marrying her schoolmate, this Hiro Yuki Takumori, who she has a big crush on at the very beginning of the series. And then when I found that out, I was like, no, she's supposed to stay with George. But George is a bit of a jerk, so I can understand why that didn't happen. Anyways, let's move on to George. George Koizumi is an eccentric, handsome, and extremely charismatic student of the Yazagaku, it's an arts high school, who has an extraordinary talent for fashion design, haute couture in particular. Despite his cold demeanor, he has extravagant ideas on everything, most of which are not accepted by the general public. He wants Yukari to become an independent woman, as well as a girl that will take responsibility for her own mistakes. He considers himself bisexual, or as he says, an equal opportunity lover. He also makes constant references to how good he is with knots and offers to tie people up repeatedly. His appearance is loosely based on Brian Slade of Velvet Goldmine, and there are several references to the film made by him in the manga. He has distinctive blue hair and eyes, which you don't see in black and white comics. See? Color. Making Yukari humorously question if he is an alien. George can come off as cold and manipulative. Arashi, one of the other characters, warns Yukari that he is not the man that will make you happy. But he deeply cares for Yukari nonetheless. That's George. George is the one to steal Yukari's virginity, even mocking her for it during sex, because he's, again, a bit of a jerk. The lifestyle he lives is top-notch. He lives in a loft apartment and drives a vintage Jaguar, but that's because his mother was a mistress of a very powerful rich man. Regardless, his mother dryly complains that he looks and acts just like his distant father. At the end of the series, it is shown that he has designed costumes for a Broadway show, so everything turns out good for George in the end. Yay! Also, there is Miwako Sakurada. She is an A student of the Yaza School who works with George to run their own brand, Paradise Kiss. She is the younger sister of Happy Berry's brand creator president Mikako Kuda, who is the protagonist in the Gōgenjō Monogatari work. She is exceptionally sweet and cute and adorable, and Miwako tends to act like in a rather childlike manner, both in her Lolita-style dress and unique vocabulary. Throughout the series, a lot of characters are just like, oh my god, she's so cute, we just want to eat her up. So it's kind of funny. Arashi Nagase is a student of Yaza as well. He has a taste for the Britpunk style, piercing and British slang and alternative music. He is Miwako's boyfriend, and they've both known each other along with Tokumori, who ends up marrying Yukawa. from childhood. Mawako later reveals that she chose Arashi over Hiroyuki when the three of them began high school. Even though Arashi has a generally cynical, sometimes abrasive personality, he does care deeply about those around him. And when members of Parakiss engage in outrageous behavior, Arashi is usually the voice of reason. So he's also the son of a famous musician who's a character in that Gokinju Monogatari. There's also Daisuke Isabella Yamamoto, and this is pretty common in a lot of Japanese manga, but I still enjoy it. She is the mother figure of the members to Parakiss. She is also a man who cross-dresses. This tall Yaza student is the epitome of high class and femininity. Isabella inspired George's very first dress during childhood and often had the habit of taking every piece of clothing that he finished. Isabella encourages Yukari when she needs it the most, whether it be regarding George or her abandoned studies. Notably, Isabella is a cross-dresser, and she is mortified when anyone refers to her in her by her man name. Now, Mr. Tokumori is Yukari's classmate. He's an intelligent and handsome young man who happens to be the object of Yukari's affections at the beginning of the story. Hiroki was once in love with Mawako, but Arashi forbade her from seeing him. So the cute one went for the punk instead of the student. He eventually falls for Yukari, who is the main character, who foolishly assumed that he'd never date a girl like her. The two later marry, and he is the son of a character from that Gokinko Montogari series. Now, one thing that I really liked about the series, when you're introduced to Tokumori, Yukari is freaking out because she loves him. She's like totally into him, and she's so shy. But one of the things that I liked is he was actually into her too. And so I kind of thought the love story would be a little different in the fact that they both kind of loved each other, but things would come in between to stop them from admitting that love. Because usually it's either like unreciprocated or the other person never admits, gets over their shyness. Then, of course, though, what ends up happening is George comes along and ruins everything because, you know, it's hard to deny George. Anyways, when they did the anime series for Paradise Kiss, the director wanted to avoid straying too far from the source material without the approval of Yazawa. So he worked closely with her in the new interpretations of the characters. So the anime has different interpretations of the characters. In many instances, Yazawa was concerned that taking the original material straight would distract casual viewers or worse, drive them away, because chief among these concerns would be the handling of George's bisexual nature and his interest in S&M. Yazawa agreed that the dialogue should reflect this, but the actual on-screen depictions, which can be found in the original manga, were to be avoided. However, the director felt this was not being entirely true to the character, so he included a few hints of this side of George in the final episode. In relation to clothing design, despite the involvement of noted fashion creator Atsuro Tayama with all of George's outfits, most of the clothing was largely as originally depicted in the manga, which is very cool. Director Kobayashi had specifically requested a real designer to work on the project, and Tayama's role in the production had originally been conceived as a reworking of the designs to fit better with the real world. But much to everyone's surprise, the original manga designs by Yazawa were already quite good. So there you have it. Paradise Kiss is so good. And now we're going to get to Nana, but I should probably play some more music. What I'm going to play for you is next is a song called Glamorous Sky, which was released with the Nana movie by Mika Nakashima, who is the actress who played Nana. And then after that, we're going to probably play Endless Story by Yuna Itu, who plays Rira. Because the thing about Nana is it revolves around rock music in the sense that the Nana, that's the punk rock Nana, has her own rock band called Blast, and she's in direct competition with another group called Trap Nest. And so the Yuna Ito song is by Rira of Trap Nest, and Glamorous Sky is by Mika Nakashima, is the actress of Nana. So I know that sounds kind of confusing, but actually it's not. You're listening to CJLO 1690. This is the Onomatopoeia Show, where we talk about comics and graphic art, and we're talking about Yazawa. And right now, here is the title track off of the Nana movie, which is really funny because it's Yayazawa, she like co-wrote it, and it's this bizarre mix of Japanese and English, and it's like, it's almost like gibberish. It makes no sense, but musically it sounds pretty good. So anyways, CGLO, enjoy. We'll be right back.
If you're not very busy, just tune in 12 to 2 for Go Funk Yourself with DJ FUNK and Classy Ass. They're my boys. You know, see, we go way back since high school. Pay attention, Tuesdays, 12 to 2.
Gonna talk over this because, you know, we're running out of time and Nana is my favorite of all the comics. What you're listening to is Yuna Ito being Rira from Trap Nest from the Nana comic. Yuna Ito, for your French Canadian content here, it just recorded a song with Celine Dion. Woo! And so yeah, she's not a bad singer. Let's listen. Oh, that's her guitar. Anyways, before that, you heard Glamorous Sky by Mika... Oh, what's her name? Let's see, Mika Nakashima, and she played Nana in the movie. So let's talk about Nana, because it's really the best one. And again, we're really running out of time. Maybe the next show won't show up. I can always dream. I'm going to turn this off. This is distracting me. It's a little cheesy. I just love that J-pop. A lot of it's really cheesy. Okay, so na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Let's see. It premiered on April 5th in 2006. There were two live-action movies. The first one came out in 2005. It grossed more than 4 billion yen. It was, like, super big deal. Then the second film came out and did way poorly because they didn't bring the same actors back, and it was really... I didn't watch it. It's been poorly written. As well, there's three video games. The first one is on PlayStation 2, where you can pretend to be like Nana. Or you're not one of the two Nanas, you're a third different Nana. And then there's also a PlayStation portable game called Everything is Controlled by the Great Demon King. And then there's a Nintendo DS game. The first 12 volumes of the manga have cumulatively sold 22 million copies, making it the fourth best-selling shoujo manga in the world. Volume 15 is set to come out in March of this year. The title comes from the name of the two Nanas. One is from a small town, following her dreams, going to an art school, deciding to get a job instead. She falls in love with every boy she ever sees. The other Nana is, the second Nana is a sort of punk rock goth girl, and she has, like, lots of anger issues. She's kind of was an orphan for a long time, and she had a boyfriend, Ren, that she loved, and he went off to join Trap Nest because he got kind of picked by them, and so they broke up, and she's decided that she's going to start her own band called Black Stones, Blast for short, and they're going to make it huge. So... two different Nanas, and they meet on a train, and it takes place around 2001. They have not very much in common. Later on, a couple of days later, they both end up looking at the same apartment, and instead of fighting over the apartment, they decide to share the apartment, and then they become super close friends, and both of them gets involved in each other's lives. Blackstones start to gain popularity as the gigs go on. There's lots and lots of drama. Like I mentioned before, Nana gets pregnant. She ends up going dating one of the members of Trap Nest. Ren and Nana, goth punk Nana, get back together, which is an amazing moment. Also, some of the other characters, there's fun-loving Nobu, who wants nothing more than Blast to continue and be super successful. Shin is the youngest member of Blast, who's half Japanese, half Caucasian, and he's like a child, a teenage prostitute, to put it bluntly. Then there's Yasu, who is the silent figure, who's sort of like the father figure, who supports Nana throughout all her heartbreak, who I also secretly has a crush on Nana. He also looks after Ren, because Ren has a has a bit of a drug addiction. And the members of Trap Nest, Ren is the guitar player. Takumi is the one that is a bit of a womanizer, but is the one that is dating Hachi. Rira is the lead singer who started dating Shin, and it's kind of convoluted, but it's really exciting. I don't know. I really love it, and I get so involved in it. Let's see what else. Black Stone's name was derived from cigarettes, and also, like I mentioned before, Happy Berry has the clothing company has appeared in all sorts of different various comics before by Yai Azawa. So. Whew. Last thing I wanted to talk about quickly before we do some news before the end of the show was the movies, the Nana movies. Oh my gosh. I was very lucky. My friend Annabelle, she managed to burn me a copy of the first Nana movie, and I've been trying to see it for like 3 years since I got involved in the comics, like into the comics. And the movie was amazing. I was like in my parents' basement. I was kind of cold, but I swear to God, I cried like the whole time because like it was so exciting to see these characters come alive. Like the actors did an amazing job, which is why I was really disappointed. I didn't want to see the second one because they got different actors for it. I mean, goth punk Nana was still the same, but Hachi was different and Ren was different, and I just didn't want to go there. Plus I heard it was really poorly written, so I don't want to do it. But the first one was so well written. Like there was so much, you get so involved in these girls' lives, and it's really faithful to the comic. Like visually, like a lot of the scenes too were very bang on with the comic, which I thought was really great. You know, a lot of the times they just kind of reinterpret, but a lot of it was, you know, visual for per visual to the comic, which is excellent. And seeing it live just made a whole bunch of scenes that weren't as emotional for me even more emotional. So I highly recommend the Nana comic. I highly recommend the Nana book, the Nana movie, the first one. And I also recommend Paradise Kiss. So before we go to the last little bit of music, oh, and there's also a Nana anime, but it's not in English, it's only in French. And we're running out of time. Before we go to some more music, I'm going to play for you, or I'm going to talk to you about the news. Yes, the news. That's what I'm going to do. Normally I do the news halfway through, but we're running out of time. You know, I love Nana. Anyway, so news. Kieran Culkin has just been cast in the new Scott Pilgrim movie, which I think is really funny because I just saw Saved last night, and I'd seen it before, and it's this awesome teen comedy, and I have it in my collection, and I'm like, oh, why do I have to do this? Do I still want it? So I watched it again last night, and I'm like, yeah, I still want this. It's a teen comedy about life in a Catholic school, and Mandy Moore is in it, and Macaulay Culkin is in it, and Jenna Malone is in it, and it's as a series of love stories, it's really charming and sweet, and there's some very funny lines in it, and if you've ever gone to Catholic school, it's totally worth seeing. So I highly recommend Saved. I don't know if anyone has ever seen it or if they're bored. Go see it. It's a great teen comedy. It's not childish or stupid. It's really thought-provoking and interesting, and it's funny. So also, the Toronto Comic Art Festival is coming up really fast. May 9th and 10th it's happening in Toronto. You can just go to torontocomics.com to learn more about it. The main guest of honor is Yoshirio Tatsumi. This is his first Canadian appearance. Tatsumi is regarded by many as the godfather of serious adult manga, and he has a new collection about it's an autobiography called The Drifting Life that's been put out by Drawn and Quarterly that they'll be promoting there at Toronto Comic Art Festival. I think you should go if you're into comics. This is a great festival to go to. It's not a superhero festival. It's a real, honest to goodness, comics are amazing medium festival. So if you want more information, either go to torontocomics.com or you can go to beguiling.com. Also on my gossip website, I go to perezhilton.com like everybody else. There was a little blurb about Mr. Stan Lee. It appears as though Mr. Stan Lee is going to court because the people that own shares of his characters through Stan Lee Media have not seen any money from the movies. Stan Lee, you are an old man and you have crap loads of money. You're suing people left, right, and center for more money, and now it turns out that you're not giving the people who deserve the money their money? Come on. Like, seriously, don't you have enough yet? In other news, which is why I'll never interview Stan Lee. I wanted to mention that at Monsteraki on Tuesday of this week, February 3rd at 5 p.m., there's going to be an exhibit of Rick Tremble's sculptures. I'm totally looking forward to this. He is a funny cartoonist in the Mirror who's in there every week doing bizarro film reviews, and I'm really dying to see these sculptures. There's a picture of one in the new Mirror that looks great. I'm not going to tell you what it is because it's kind of graphic. But Monsteraki is on St. Laurent. It's 5478 St. Laurent. It's a great sort of comic book art curios place. Its exhibition will go on for a couple weeks. It doesn't really say, but I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to be at the launch, the Vernissage. That's Tuesday at 5. And if you're in, okay, I got to admit these sculptures are a little risque. So if you're not into body parts right in your face, then maybe not go. But if you're open to that kind of thing, I would totally go because I'm, you know, it's awesome. Rick Tremble's, like, these things, I don't know, they look like he used polythene or rubber or something. He wants to do, like, duplicates and promote them as, like, this whole line. And so I'm actually going to be interviewing him soon. Don't you worry. We're going to be talking to him about this exhibit and all sorts of stuff. So also in other news, I should mention that next week we'll probably play that Bernie Moreau interview. And then the week after that, we'll have a Pat McEwen interview. And then we're going to have some other local people interviews. I've been talking to a girl whose website is www.lovechristine.com. And I saw her stuff at Exposine. So I'm going to be trying to get, we started talking about getting an interview done. And I also want to get one with Pascal Girard. So it's going to happen. Don't worry. When I say I want to, it's going to happen. Nobody says no to me. Come on. Anyways, you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM, and we're going to go to some more music. I'm going to play you a track called Lucy. This is from the animated series of Nana. It's sung by Anna Tshuya. More information, you can go to see my website, www.cartoongal.com. There's not much on it, but very soon there will be. Don't worry. Anyways, okay, next week, Bernie Moreau. I can breathe.
Show you my strength now.